Yeah. Check it out. See, the only thing you need to do right here is snarl your freaking head. Hey, well, all right, sir. I'm going to give you a lot of money and welcome aboard. Here we come on up, number 29, and what are they going to give for? I'm a 25, I'm going to get 35, another 50, make a 50 bit of wrong. Hey, well, all right, sir. I'm going to give you a lot of money and welcome aboard. Here we come on up, number 29, and what are they going to give for?
Yeah, boy. It's episode 152, and this is the Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast. The Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast is the official podcast of thefantasyfootballauction.com, the internet's only all-auction website. You can follow us on Twitter if you want. We're at Fantasy Auction. You can also follow this guy, at Mr. Blister. Blister, how are you doing tonight? Hey,
okay, Bucks, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm interested now in starting to take a look at these, you know, these teams division by division and seeing how they're stacking up and looking at all the moves. We just recently on the free agent fallout. That was episode 151. So if you want to go back and listen to some of those, but I'm interested in going through some of these teams with you tonight, Blister.
Yeah, you know, it's good to kind of get a feel for all the teams. And, you know, I know when I'm listening to other pods and stuff, I like to kind of take note of that. And, you know, I like to take in as much information as I can. So whether it's podcasts or NFL Today or a bazillion different websites I read every night when I go to bed, I just kind of try to absorb it all and kind of get a feel for, you know, the more information and the more attitude or the more opinion, I guess, that you get on teams and players, the better. Kind of helps you form your own then. Yeah.
Absolutely. So Slim's not with us tonight, so we're gonna work our way through the AFC West, the two of us here. Typically what we do is these breakdowns are available in on our membership side of the page. Usually I post, you know, one from each and as a freebie for you to go through and take a look, and then the rest of it really does go to our members. So when we get the paywall up, and we'll let everybody know, hopefully here in the next week or so, if I can get down to setting that up again. So check out that on the website, thefantasyfootballauction.com. And yeah, we got the free agent ones already out there now, and we've posted two podcasts last week as well. So we're getting rolling, Blister, eh?
Yeah, it's about time. And like you said, we just talked about our dynasty rookie draft the other day, and that is the best part. So if people are getting ready to go to the draft, that's, you know, that's some of the best fun you can have. And that's why you do an auction, because the fun lasts for 3 or 4 or 5 hours at night. So, you know, it's the way to go.
I thought it was a good idea when we talked at the rookie draft. If you just met once a week and threw $5 in the pot or whatever it was and drafted, and then just best ball. You don't have to worry about the lineup ever, right? That would be,
that'd be a lot of fun.
It'd be awesome.
Like, we used to do that. Like we used to get together once a week and play poker when that was the big craze and the wave. And, you know, we've obviously that kind of faded, but that would be a lot of fun if you get, you know, 12 guys together or
well,
girls
it's kind of the idea behind
12 people.
The idea behind the, NFLs, right? It's just you're drafting.
Yeah. Yeah, they're a lot of fun. They are fun. I mean, I think I love that part. So we should attempt it, you know, just throw together a best ball. Say, hey, who wants to draft? Invite, you know, 15, 20 guys. The first 12 that sign up, they're in.
There you go.
Get together and have a couple beer and they have a draft. Maybe we'll have to take that on, Bex. Me and you,
we'll have to spearhead that. Talk about that. Yeah, I like the idea. Yeah. Anyways, so we're going to talk about AFC West here, Blister. So if you guys are ready, then I'm ready. Let's cock the hammer. It's time for action. So we're going to take a look at the AFC West, Blister. You broke it down. You've shared it with me. Top of your list on the AFC West breakdown, I'm sure in no particular order, are the Denver Broncos. I'm sure you didn't list that in order, did you?
Nope, I don't know how I come up with them. It's just there. Maybe it's alphabetical. Is it? I wonder. Could be alphabetical.
Yeah, well, and there you have it, Blister. It is.
Yeah,
it is. So we'll work our way through the Broncos and the Chiefs and the Raiders and the Los Angeles Chargers.
That's right. So we'll, did I change
we'll
it?
We'll take a look at some of that. Yeah, you did. You did a good job there.
Yeah, I had to go back. I forgot a few times. So, yeah, you know,
the Broncos, they were poopy last year.
Yeah, 9-7. No Peyton. That's a big question this year. Again, is going to be the quarterback play and how that affects all the fantasy players around them. You know, they got Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch, and they drafted Chad Kelly, and apparently Chad Kelly could have all the tools, and it just maybe he doesn't have the toolbox right now to keep him in. So hopefully he can get that straightened out and stay on the field and let off-field behaviors, you know, maybe smarten him up because they need a quarterback there. They got some good players, and I think last year the quarterback play really hurt Demaryius Thomas, you know, and Demaryius Thomas, he's a guy that you would have paid highly for in your auction for the last couple of years, and last year he was quite disappointing. And he still ended up as the 15th ranked
That surprised me when I looked at that when you posted. I wouldn't have thought that off the top of my head.
Yeah, and I think, you know, which was okay, but I think when you drafted him, you had a lot of higher expectations for him. And Emmanuel Sanders did all right. I think he finished, what did I say, 20th last year?
20,
yeah. So, I mean, Demaryius had 90 grabs still last year. Still went for over 1,000 yards, but only 5 touchdowns. And he did have some bad drops last year, too. So it wasn't really like him. But, you know, I think if anything this year, what happens with these guys is when you go to draft day that, sorry about the yawn, buddy. I'm really tired. I didn't think I was tired.
Well, at least you're not in the boudoir last week.
Probably a good thing that would be already talked about. If you're doing this by yourself, just have snoring on the mic from one end.
There you go. Yeah.
Anyways, but I think if anything, you know what, Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders could provide pretty good value. I mean, if you got a 15th and 20th ranked wide receiver, but you're only paying $15 or $20 for them, then all of a sudden that's not too bad of a deal. Two receivers to go with over 1,000 yards, 5 touchdowns for Emmanuel and 5 for Demaryius, both of them over 1,000 yards, 77 grabs or 79 for Emmanuel and, what did I say? 90 for Demaryius. So, you know, those are decent numbers. If your expectations aren't that they're going to be, you know, 1,400 yards and 10 touchdowns, if your expectations are, you know, 1,000 yards and maybe 7 touchdowns or something, you know, you can get them for $15 to $20, suddenly, boom, then you would want them on your team. And so some guys are going to probably shy away from these guys because of the fact that they still don't have a very good quarterback. We don't know who it'll be at this point, but, you know, I think those are two guys to really keep an eye on come auction day because a lot of guys probably got soured on, especially Demaryius last year, and he could just be one of the better values come your auction day.
Well, and I think they're going to be the guys coming through your auction during that kind of lull, you know what I mean? It's a couple hours in, guys are taking a leak and doing whatever. Like, it's those guys...
Yeah.
Right, because nobody wants to put them first because
you're not going to draw a lot of money. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
I think that's you're going to see them.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that's right. When last year was Michael Crabtree, I think Slim said he went to the washroom and missed out on him.
Yeah. Exactly.
Pretty good value. Yeah.
That's different. Yeah. So, do you think Jamaal Charles does anything with this team, Buster?
I don't know. They didn't sign him. He might not make the team. I put him down as in our column for breakouts and bust. They put him down as a bust. They didn't sign it to too much. So, and he's been around a long time. But if he does make it, I think what it does hurt is it hurts. If he's still there when you do your auction draft and it's later August and he is there and, you know, and if the reports from training camp are that he's looking good, then that just is going to drive down the value of CJ Anderson and Devontae Booker. So it's really going to be a mess because no one's going to want to pay too much for any of those guys then. But, you know, it could quite easily be, you know, 2 weeks into the season, Jamal's hurt and, you know, Booker's fumbled again and CJ is the lead dog and, you know, that's that. And so the only problem though, again, still is the, you know, the quarterback play is not going to scare anybody off. So it's still going to be hard for them to run the ball probably because they're not scared of the quarterback's arms. Like Lynch, he'll throw it down the field. Siemian won't, but they won't, you know, you see what they did last year. They're not really scary. They're not a threat. They're not Aaron Rodgers. They're not, you know, so, I think the guys aren't going to get a lot of room to run. If they're probably thinking young quarterback, get the ball out of the quarterback's hands quickly, which means could be running or could be handing it off and stuff like that. I just think that the running backs might be a good backfield to avoid on draft day.
Yeah, I think so too. Move on, Blister, to the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City Chiefs, FYI, Blister, are very much a popular team with the listeners of this podcast. The number one market of the podcast is the Midwest, Kansas. Like that's who hits a lot. So shout out to everybody who's a Chiefs fan in that area.
Nice.
I was just going to say, Blister, you're also going to have to make a change to this because the news that came out was Jeremy Maclin is no longer a Chief.
Yeah, that was quite shocking. No, I think he's going to find a landing spot. I think last I heard, LeSean McCoy was really rooting hard to bring him to Buffalo.
Oh, yeah. It
might be a good spot for him to go, actually. But, I was quite shocked that Jeremy Maclin got let go on the weekend by KC and disappointed at the same time. I mean, they had a pretty good team last year. Their offense was 13th ranked, 24.3 points per game. I always love their defense, fantasy defense. They always do quite well. They were actually a second ranked fantasy defense, according to FF Today stats. Depends how you score your defenses. Yeah. They ended up 12-4. I mean, they got a lot of talent on that team. They got rid of, obviously, Jamal Charles is gone, and now Macklin's gone, which that's going to be a big hole. But, they got Spencer Ware in the backfield is a good, and Travis Kelce is great, and Tyreek Hill, all of a sudden, he could be very valuable.
Next year. And I am an owner.
Yes. And I almost got him off you for
not I tried throwing him out for second round rookie picks to pretty much everybody, and nobody bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I think with Maclin gone, wow. I mean, he's going to be given quite an opportunity, and what I wonder about though, and I might have wrote this in the write up. I guess I should pull it up here, but if he's going to be potentially their number one, do they take him off? He was on special teams. He had a lot of return touchdowns last year, which is really awesome. Does he get removed from that if they're relying on
Antonio Pierce? They do Julian Edelman returns kicks or punts,
Yeah, I know. Antonio still does one somehow too, right? Antonio Brown. Yeah. I just wonder if that becomes a concern or not. I don't know.
Go ahead.
Looking at the depth chart, Chris Conley is still there, Albert Wilson, DeMarcus Robinson, DeAnthony Thomas. No, they've drafted or signed undrafted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 rookies. It's going to be interesting to see how that whole depth chart shakes out come end of August, because you think Chris Conley and Tyreek Hill should be up there. You'd think maybe can Travis Kelce get targeted even more? Kelce almost got to be the happiest people.
Absolutely.
He got to be the happiest people of the whole group because he was the number one tight end last year, if I remember correctly. Yes, he was. Yep. He had 117 targets, 85 grabs, only 4 touchdowns. That number could go up quite easily. Mm-hmm. 1,100 yards. So, Travis Kelce could blow people out of the water this year, tight end.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting, offense to watch during, training camp and the preseason, because you also have to consider Spencer Ware, and is this Kareem Hunt, is he going to step in and win that job even before the season starts? There's a lot of people saying that could happen.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one, because I think, with Ware and with the shiny new toy in town, I think, Ware's going to get every chance to start, but if he stumbles, I really think the rookie could take over, but it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. I was just going through my notes here and trying to adjust where I talked about Maclin a couple times.
I saw that, well, hey, I mean, you got to stay on top of it. I was pretty shocked when I heard that, and the poor Zubes in our Dynasty League, just one more wide receiver that he have.
Yeah, no kidding. That's too bad. Well, he has
more free agents on his team than he does receivers, I think. He's a six free agents. Well, seven now with Maclin, I think.
He does hold on to guys for a while too. Well, after they've retired.
Well, just in case, right?
After they've retired.
Yeah, then just in case, because it could be Marshawn Lynch and come back.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but you let go of him, right?
Yeah. So speaking of Marshawn Lynch, see how I did that too? Yeah, pretty good.
You're pretty good at this.
Yeah. Yeah. I should do this more often. and knowing that I'm doing it without a script, maybe that's the key, because
we don't have a note.
No?
Yeah, that's right. No, nothing. You got no script. That's right. No. Maybe that's why we're...
And I got segues. I got the Eddie Lacy in the last pod with the fat Eddie moving and eating into carries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Oakland, like, this is... Oakland was an exciting team last year. They have, this can't be right. 16th at 26 points per game. Maybe it is. But anyways, 12-4, some talent there. They finally have receivers in Oakland that, you know, I would be proud to own. I used to bug you, Bucks, about all the, all these receivers that you
had. I don't own one of them.
Yeah. No, but Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree, obviously two very good receivers. And prior to those guys, they always had these guys that, they did nothing. There's a lot of hype. I remember every auction, every draft, there's a bunch of hype about Oakland. You know, these guys, well, he's going to be the number one, number two, but they were not that good. And, you know, they didn't do anything ever, but they lose Latavius Murray, goes to Minnesota. I think that's the only key losses, although I put in Andre Holmes and Michael Rivera. They weren't that key. They drafted Elijah Hood, running back, in a seventh round, and they signed a few undrafted free agents. But they grabbed Marshawn Lynch out of retirement. Jared Cook comes over, tight end. It could be their best tight end they've had for a while. And Cordarrelle Patterson, EJ Manuel as well. So they did pick up some offensive additions, but all kind of interesting question. Well, you can't expect anything out of EJ Manuel when they got Carr. Cordarrelle Patterson, you know, does he become a wide receiver three there? I don't know. Is he just a special teamer? Maybe. But obviously Cooper and Crabtree. Cooper's going to run you probably $35 to $40 at least in your auction. Yeah. Crabtree again. Here's the thing. Save your money. Buy Crabtree for $15 less and get the same production.
Right.
Probably happens again this year. What do you like in Oakland this year?
Well, that's one of the points I was just going to make. And then also, too, I was going to ask you about Elijah Hood, because there's a lot of chatter that, you know, Marshawn isn't all that he was. And this Elijah Hood could all of a sudden be the man, right?
Well, that's the thing. You got to keep an eye on him. I mean, I don't expect too much out of Marshawn this year. I wouldn't be going in. I don't want to own him in any leagues. There's Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington that they had drafted, I believe, last year. And then Elijah Hood comes in. So, you know, those guys played quite a bit last year too, in different times. And, who knows who it's going to be. You know, we had this conversation a lot last year, like thinking that one of these guys would step up, but, I would keep an eye on Hood. Because if he can get in there, I mean, whoever can become the number two to Marshawn, you know, with Marshawn having been off for a year and maybe be, you know, he's getting a little more brittle, I would think that maybe the number two here is the guy you'd want to target in your auction, because he could be sitting on your bench for 2, 3, 4, 6 weeks and all of a sudden be the starter come, you know, for the playoff push and through the playoffs. So that'll be a good one to watch. I can't see anybody on here after Lynch going for more than $1 at this point. So, you know, if you got the late in the auction, you throw a flyer out one of these guys, and the later you do your draft, the better chance you're going to know. Even if you did know the pecking order, I still don't think they're going to go for more than $1.
Right. Well, and I think if you're going to draft Marshawn Lynch, you have to handcuff him.
I think so.
I think a guy like Elijah Hood goes for more than that because of that. I mean, he might go for $5 or something.
He could.
Because. You're going to have to pay for it. So, you know, if you're going to draft Marshawn Lynch, then add an extra $2-3 to what you're willing to go for him, because you're going to have to take Elijah Hood behind him. I think you got it.
Yeah. Oh, I think you do. I think you need to have some young backup potential there, because once he goes down, you're going to pay an arm and a leg on the waiver wire, and, you know, you might not even get him. And then all of a sudden that starting running back maybe starts to become real productive there. So, yeah.
Well, and I think because behind that line, right, and their team that's, you know, gonna, I think, score more points than they did last year.
You're a guy that this is changing the subject, but you're a guy I could see going after a guy like Derek Carr as your number one quarterback late in the draft for a buck or two. You know,
yeah.
And he averaged 21 points a game last year.
That's what it's right in my wheelhouse. And I mean, I go back to we always go back to the dynasty this time of year because it's the only roster that we have. And I used to own him and Bortles and,
that's right too. Yeah.
And A-Rob and Amari Cooper, right? And so I had both those stacks and I traded away Carr and Cooper and kept Bortles and A-Rob. Well, I've got rid of A-Rob now, but that maybe should have traded Bortles away.
Yeah, rather than
Carr.
No. Yeah.
It's that's what I do.
It is what it is.
Yeah. That's right. So, but no, you're right. Derek Carr is exactly the type of quarterback that I target. But you know, not on this list, but if you're going to look at guys you're going to target, even though he's not in this division, I think one of the guys to look at is Joe Flacco this year for free.
Yeah. Yeah. He would get him for nothing. He's been practically free for as long as we've been doing this, it seems like, you know, no matter what. And he can throw, and he can throw deep. Mike Wallace, like last year, I pumped Mike Wallace's tires last year, and he had a pretty good year.
Yeah.
So I remember that, and I grabbed him a few spots.
Well, and I just think with the Danny Woodhead addition, so there's going to be some catches coming out of the backfield too, you know. Yeah. I don't know. I just think it's interesting. Anyways, we'll get it back into this division where we're supposed to be. It's the Los Angeles Chargers, the LAC short form. So – the move to LA obviously is not going to do much for the team. I don't, as far as their fantasy production. But what do you think, Blister? Outside of Melvin Gordon and maybe Phillip Rivers, what else is going on there?
Well, those two guys are pretty big studs. I think, last year they ended up as a ninth ranked offense, which is pretty impressive. But more surprising was their fifth ranked fantasy defense. Like their overall defense they were 5-11, but they put up fantasy points on defense somehow. But they lose Stevie Johnson and Danny Woodhead are the two bigger losses, and they drafted seventh.
I had to laugh here. Key losses, Ronnie Hillman. That's awesome.
Yeah. Anyways, he's so
still
key.
In the league. Yeah. him and Monty Ball are
they're hanging out now.
Anyway, sorry.
Mike Williams, they've drafted a receiver, seventh overall. I think he has an opportunity. I mean, he goes to an offense, obviously, again, if their defense is poor, they're going to have to throw it. And you know what? I've always kind of hated on Phillip Rivers, but, man, the guy puts up fantasy points.
That's good,
You know, and so I think, you know, you get Phillip in your draft again. Very late, very cheap, and you got a guy that's going to throw for over 4,000 yards. Last year, he ended up sixth ranked quarterback threw for 4,390 yards, 33 touchdowns. You know, so 22 points a game, and you get him for peanuts. You know,
I was just looking at last year's auction values. He was a $5 quarterback for us. We said anyways, and we had him ranked at 11. So. We were pretty high on him last year too.
Yeah. And the guy, and he just keeps doing it. So I think that offense again should be pretty productive. I mean, if Keenan Allen ever can stay healthy, he kind of screwed me over last year. So, I didn't have high expectations from Travis Benjamin, but if Travis Benjamin, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, they're 1, 2, 3, man, that's a pretty good threesome. And then behind them, they got Dontrell Inman still and Tyrell Williams. I'm not sure what his role will be. I guess it'll be interesting to see, but, and they still got Gates. He's still back. Hunter Henry's back, and he's a young tight end. It'll take over for Gates, but Gates is still going to get his looks. Melvin Gordon had a heck of a year last year, and when you look at the depth chart behind Melvin Gordon, you don't see a whole lot. Brandon Oliver, Kenneth Farrell, Kenyon Barner, I don't know. Andre Williams probably come over from the Giants. You know, there's not much there. I really can't see, with Danny Woodhead gone, I think Melvin Gordon could be even better this year. Gordon played 13 games last year and still finished as the RB7. So he missed three.
Yeah, crazy.
You know, so, and I think that, he should be expensive this year, but yet I don't know if he'll be as expensive as he probably should be. You know what I mean? Like I think he should be right up there at $45 to $50 because he finished as a seventh ranked back. If he would add on, let's see, three more games, 60 more points. He would have been at 314. He would have been 3 points behind Le'Veon Bell. You know,
wow.
Bell only played 12 games though, but you know, he would have been, 13 points behind Zeke. Like, that's it. So, you know, that guy's going to put up some numbers, but he's David Johnson, Zeke, Lev Bell. They're going to get the attention. They're going to get the big bucks. And I think while Melvin's going to be a bit of a steal probably underneath that, but we shall see. I guess, go ahead.
Who's the receiver to own there though? Like, can you buy Keenan Allen as a one?
I'd be scared to have him as a one. I mean, he just hasn't been able to stay on the field. And last year I had high hopes in him. You know, a lot of my fantasy teams got busted because of Keenan Allen and Sammy Watkins last year. And I'll have a hard time investing in them again.
So Keenan Allen, we had as the wide receiver 8 heading into the season. This goes back to August 13th last year. So we had him at 8. He had a $41 tag. Do you pay, like, what, only $30 for him now? Does he fall out of the top 20?
Well, you know, I can't see too many people spending a lot on him because I think they're going to be scared off that he can't stay in the field. I would probably be happy if I got him for under 30. I mean, any over 25, I mean, there's a lot of pretty good players out there that have a lot better durability that you could, you know, get. Like, at least that's what you think in your mind. You can't predict injuries and you don't know for sure. But whenever you spend, like, this is like right now, and I'm playing fantasy golf every week, and when your top dog like Dustin Johnson doesn't make the cut, well, then you're screwed.
Yeah.
So, you know, if your top dog, like, you spend so much money on your receiver, Keenan Allen or whoever it is, Sammy Watkins, and then they're hurt or don't even play, then you can't replace that talent after the draft on the waiver wire. You just can't replace it, especially at receiver. You can at running back, I think. I mean, when a running back gets hurt and then the number two emerges, you know, gets pushed up to be number one, well, they're going to get those 15 to 20 touches perhaps a game. And so they're going to get fantasy points. But a receiver, you know, you don't go from the number two to the number one and instantly get the targets, or you don't jump from the number three up to the number one because of, you know, that's your role or whatever, and instantly have the success that Keenan Allen would have had. So you really, it's so hard to replace that. You don't see that replacement value coming in very often. It kills your team.
Just to stay in the division then, do you take Keenan Allen over Demaryius Thomas?
Oof. You know what? I think I'd have more confidence in Thomas this year.
So we had him heading into the season wide receiver 16 at a $34 tag.
Last year?
Last year, yeah.
Is that right, eh? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think that Thomas, you know, his numbers weren't that bad despite the bad quarterback play, and I think that it'll be a little better this year. And Keenan, he scares me. The injury risk just scares me too much.
Yeah.
If he plays and if he stays healthy, he'll do great. But that's the big if. You know?
That's a big if. Well, I mean, again, going back to the dynasty, he was my wide receiver 3, so I'm happy if he's going to be my 3.
Yeah. Yeah. That's for sure.
But you don't want to draft him as the 1.
No, I couldn't do it. What do you think about Antonio Gates? 36 years old now. Do you think he gets he needs what, one more touchdown or something to set the record?
Well, and then he retires? Or?
I hope he does because I need Hunter Henry to play. That's what I need.
I wouldn't draft him. I don't think even for a dollar. I think there's other guys who.
Yeah, I'm not going
to. Yeah, I'm not there. I think the wide receiving core there is pretty crowded, but then you just got to love Philip Rivers this year. That's the way
I think he'll be great. Yeah. Definitely a lot of cheaper quarterbacks to be had. I don't think that anybody's going to bring down too big of money this year. Like, Aaron Rodgers will probably be the most expensive, but I can't see too many guys paying $25 for a quarterback anymore.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't make sense.
No, you're 100% right. Well, this year in ours, you will, because of the Superflex ad.
Oh,
that's going to change things.
Oh, that's right. It's all together different.
Everything. It changes everything. Well, you know what? We should for kicks on a pod break down the change to our redraft and what that means to auction prices. So just comparing, you know what I mean? Cause it's a whole, it's a pretty diverse.
That's right.
You know, or big change, right? So it'd be, yeah, that'd be an interesting conversation. I think when we had, when we have Slim on and I think that'd be a good conversation too, just as a commissioner to talk to him about why he decided to make the moves. And
it's going to be tough, you know, too, why, because we, you know, I would have to guess the majority of the auction drafts that are out there are just your standard redraft, one quarterback, you know, not a super flex, because that totally changes the cost and value of players.
Of everything. Yeah, I think that'd be an interesting conversation. We should make sure we mark that down.
Hmm. I'm kind of sad that we're doing that.
I like it.
Quarterback. Two quarterback league?
Yeah, I just like that he made the change. I like that he went super flex for sure. It just is going to give us the quarterbacks more value. And I think because he's gone to the multiple flexes too, that it's going to really change the way everyone drafts. I think that, not that it was getting stale, but you know, you could pretty much go in and say, yeah, oh, this is how it's going to shake out and so-and-so is going to take so-and-so and blah, blah, blah. And now it's going to really change. I think there's going to be a lot more strategy and guys like us, let's say, that are maybe more up on it than of our league.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to do some mocks for that because that's definitely going to look a little different. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe, hey, should change it. Maybe we should change it every year or something. Every year, you know, this is super flex. Yeah. This one is tight end premium. This year is six IDP guys.
Like Starfish. Start.
Yeah,
all like Starfish.
Continually be different. Yeah, that one's got points for first down this year.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think Slim made some of those moves. Like when I just started up this second dynasty and I'm commissioning that one, it basically the rosters and the scoring that he has on for our auction are what I set for that league.
Is that right? I'll have to look
pretty,
that up.
Pretty much the same. So anyways.
He emailed that to us, right?
Yeah.
An email. I'll have to go check it out.
Well, I think he's opened up the My Fantasy League, so then you could go in. I don't know if he has a scoring set either yet.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll check it out.
Any AFC episode 152 is in the books.
Right on.
Enjoy. All right. Folks. Yeah. So anyways, we'll have that post on the website, thefantasyfootballauction.com. Jump into iTunes, give us a rating and review, help us boost up the rankings there because it just helps share the auction love. So feel free to head over and do that. Follow us at Fantasy Auction if you want to do everybody. I'm at Uncle Buckets. Blister is at Mr. Blister and Slim. Well, maybe he's watching right now. Maybe he's not, but he's at Slim for MVP. Blister, I'm sure I'll see you on the Line app tomorrow and maybe see some shared documents coming my way.
I'll do my best, yes.
And for everybody else, I'll see you when it's springtime in the Rockies.
When it's springtime in the Rockies, I'll become